Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello and welcome in. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday on Thursday. Hopefully a great day of shopping today. That's what Black Friday has become. Yesterday, cars everywhere. If it was a department store, a mall, a shopping center, crazy crowds, even now coming out on Thanksgiving evening, and of course, wall-to-wall shopping today. So hopefully if you're listening today, you're out and about, maybe in between stops, maybe getting ready to have lunch, but you're enjoying a day off and getting ready for IU football tonight. Been a great couple days for sports. High school basketball is back underway. I've had a chance to see Floyd Central and Jeffersonville local teams in action so far this season. We'll get a chance to see New Albany and others on Saturday night in action. Not really much going tonight from a local perspective of high school basketball, but also some great college basketball games. I can remember, and I talked about this some last week, but I can remember a time where this feast week of college basketball was Thanksgiving week. It lasted, you know, 4, 5, 6 days through the end of the Thanksgiving week. Now it's been a 2 week long deal, basically starting a week ago. And I also remember when it was some decent teams, but a lot of mid-major teams in some of these tournaments, kind of still early season feels to a lot of the games. It's not that way anymore. Yesterday, there were some really good matchups. Today, there are going to be some really good matchups, and it's still that early. So interesting games and plenty of things going. It's pro football yesterday, IU plays tonight, lots of things going. And, of course, we're all getting ready for IU-Purdue, which will take place on Saturday. That is going to be, I think, just a terrific football game to watch, not only on the field, obviously, but with the storylines surrounding the game, both teams needing bowl eligibility with one more win. Jeff Brohm, will he stay at Purdue and try to build something special there and probably be a thorn in IU's side for a number of years, or will he leave? Will he depart back to Louisville, his hometown, and take over the football program? I think it's likely that after the IU game, that movement starts to happen one way or the other, and perhaps Sunday, Monday, something's announced, or you at least got a pretty good feel for what might happen in that coaching situation. But a great time for sports, a great week for sports. Hopefully you're enjoying an extended weekend. Hopefully you've had an opportunity already, or will have an opportunity this weekend to get out and see some high school basketball as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. First segment, we've got our news of the day, our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill. In our headlines today, we'll talk about what to expect tonight in this IU-UC Davis game. UC Davis, I can assure you this, at least on paper, and at least based on their results and performances so far, they are not a UT Arlington. They are a one-win team, I think 1-5 on the season as they enter tonight's game. So we'll take a look at that. We'll talk a little high school basketball, what the season has been like so far. Jeffersonville got a win Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving, over Evansville Day. Very, very lackluster team. Score 84-34. Lots of Red Devils in double figures. So really hard to see a lot about Jeffersonville, but they played a lot of different players. A lot of different players were able to score, and they move on to get an easy first win of the season. So we'll catch up on that. Now that I've had a chance to see Jeff and Floyd Central play, you kind of start to get a little bit of a feel. Going to take a couple more weeks and a couple big games for some of these teams, some challenge games to really get an idea on where they're at. Also in our headlines today, we'll talk a little bit about Romeo Langford, not at Indiana. I know the talk at IU right now is all about the nose. Is it broken? Has he had it x-rayed? Is he going to be wearing a face mask on Friday night, tonight for the game? Is he going to play in the game tonight? Those are all questions that have been repeated and repeated everywhere I've been. I don't know. I really don't know. It obviously did not look good with his nose, but no one has any confirmation on what the x-ray said, if he even had an x-ray, and I'm sure he did. Will he play tonight? Will he wear a face mask tonight? Will he be back if he doesn't play tonight for Duke? All questions I'm hearing, don't know the answer to any of them. But one thing I do know is that New Albany will recognize him, even though he won't be at the game Saturday night. They'll recognize him with some special additions to the Doghouse Gymnasium at New Albany High School. We'll talk about that in just a second as well. Later in the show, segment two, we'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Jared and I will get ready for tonight's game against UC Davis at Assembly Hall. Tough game for IU fans. And again, I don't think it's going to be very tough on the court unless Indiana's so shorthanded. And we'll talk some about injuries here in a moment. But tough for fans that it's not on television. It's on Big Ten Plus. It's an easy deal. I did it for the last game that was on Big Ten Plus. You get on your phone, your computer, you download it. It's about a five-minute process, if that, to sign up. You can buy it for 1 month, I think, for $9.99, and cancel it after the game since Indiana will not be on that platform again this season. But it's still a pain. You got to figure out how to hook it up to your TV or watch it on your phone or on your computer. It's definitely not as comfortable as watching professional as watching a game on television, but it is what it is. It's a way to see the Hoosiers tonight in their game against UC Davis. So Jared Morris on IU tonight. Later in the program, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will check in. Kyle has been at the football state championships, which are ongoing today. In fact, we'll have some of the championship games later this afternoon right here on the Big X Sports Radio, and we'll catch up on some recruiting, the start of the high school basketball season, and more with Kyle Neddenrip when he joins us on the program. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one, what to expect tonight in this game against UC Davis. Number one, before we even talk about who the opponent is, how lackluster their performances have been so far this season, you got to start with injuries for IU tonight. Deron Davis, he missed the last game because of some soreness in his Achilles. Race Thompson has been out because of a concussion. I think Race Thompson's actually had two different nagging injuries so far this season. Devontae Green, he's had ongoing issues with his thigh. He's seen very limited action this season, has missed a number of games. Zach McRoberts, a senior, a leader, a shooter on this team, he continues to be out with back problems. And then in the UT Arlington game before Thanksgiving, Al Durham lands very hard, goes out of the game, and doesn't return. And Al has been playing some great basketball when he can get in and get some minutes because of injuries and other things. Romeo Langford takes a shot to the nose. We see him look very aggravated on the sideline. We see the nose packed with the tissue and with the padding. Who knows what his status is? You would think that hopefully that was addressed right away and maybe he can play with a mask. Is it worth, against a smaller level opponent, him playing with a mask? A lot of things about injuries tonight will help shape the game. Indiana has been without a number of players in a number of games so far this season. But right now, with Davis and Thompson and Green, McRoberts, that's four that have been out for sure. Durham and Langford could take you as high as five or six scholarship players missing the game potentially tonight. And again, that's a big if. We don't know if anyone else, if Race Thompson is back. We don't know if Deron Davis, Devontae Green, Zach McRoberts are back from the last game. We also don't know the status at all of Al Durham and Romeo Langford. So who knows what to expect tonight? I can tell you probably one of the more exciting parts will be who is dressed in warm-ups and not warming up, or who is warming up that might be a game-time decision. Maybe you'll see a returner or two tonight, but who knows? If not, Indiana could find itself really, really scratching for players. Thank God that the opponent tonight is UC Davis and not a Marquette, or UC Davis and not a Duke, which who will be the opponent on Tuesday night. So injuries continue to just be amazing. When the injury bug strikes a team sometime, it can be the damnedest thing, and that's what it's been for Indiana to start the season. The good news is, despite all of that, Indiana's lost one game, and it was on a one-point game, an opportunity, a shot, a tip-in that did not go, despite the injuries and despite the players that they've been missing. So there is some positive in it, but injuries really something to watch right now with this IU basketball team. One thing we forget about as well, injuries affect the game, who's going to play, how many scholarship players are available, rotations, minutes played together, things that all are important when you move into the tougher part of the schedule, and it gets real dang tough after tonight with Duke, the next game on the schedule, and of course conference, I'm thinking down the road to the Big Ten conference season, but one thing we don't immediately think about is practices. The team has some things they need to work on, as any college basketball team does, especially at this early part of the season, but when you've got that many players out, it's hard to practice. It's hard to work on some of the things that you need to get better at. So injuries can really throw a kink in things, not just a game. That's when it stands out most to fans and obviously in the win-loss column for teams. But injuries can really throw a kink in preparations for future games, in correcting mistakes at this point of the season, getting ready for that tough and conference part of the schedule. Let's talk a little bit about UC Davis. They were 22-11 last season. It was a great year for them. They reached the NIT tournament in the postseason. But this year, the team is just 1-5 on the season. Their only win came, it was an overtime win at home against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So this on paper is not a team that should be capable of challenging Indiana or any other high major basketball team. But when you've got that many injuries and that much unknown, who knows what can happen. So let's see what happens tonight when IU takes the floor. A couple names to watch out. They've got three guards that will dominate the ball a lot, will have an opportunity to score whatever points UC Davis does score. TJ Short, Stefan Gonzalez, and Siler Schneider, three guards that, again, will dominate a lot of the possessions for this UC Davis team. IU opened as a 22-point favorite yesterday against UC Davis. Indiana, according to Ken Pomeroy, a 97% chance of victory in this game. I'm not sure they factor in all of the injuries, but I still like Indiana's chances in the game tonight. Don't forget, it's on Big Ten Plus, 7 o'clock tip-off, I believe, and we'll have pregame coverage right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Yes, it is a 7 o'clock tip. Pre-game coverage at 6 o'clock here on the Big X. And, of course, Don Fisher has the call. So if you don't want to pay the extra for Big Ten Plus, or you can't get it to download or whatever the case is, we got you covered. You can do it with Don Fisher, the legendary voice of the Hoosiers, right here on WXVW. Also, high school basketball, I want to get into that for just a minute. Great to open the season. We talk a lot of high school basketball on this program. Obviously, last year, a banner year for high school hoops in the area. This year, going to be interesting to see who steps up. We think that there'll be great games because everything will be so competitive. Heading into the year 4A, we talk about Floyd Central, New Albany, Jeffersonville, all being ranked within a number of spots of each other, all have some key losses to replace, all have some players back, and all have some younger players that look to step up and take over some key roles on teams. We've talked about Silver Creek, the fact that they've got a great mix of returning talent with some young players that are becoming college prospects. So plenty to watch early on in the season. I've had a chance now to see Floyd Central. After about a quarter and a half of a competitive game, they were able to run away with it over 1A Christian Academy. And then Jeffersonville, very similar. It was never a contest. They led 15-2 over Evansville Day after the first period of play and were able to race away to an 84-34 final score. Evansville Day, a 1A school. They had a 7-footer, 7-foot-1 maybe player, little undeveloped, got a long way to go, but obviously some potential there because of his size. Had a couple decent guards, but Jeffersonville's pressure, and Jeffersonville just simply overwhelmed them in every facet of the game. You could tell it was a team that was very much overwhelmed for the moment that the ball was thrown up for the tip-off. So Jeff wins easy. Hard to get a great read and I talked with Joe Luce some after the game, hard to get a great read on Jeffersonville after that kind of game. You would think that Jeff, looking at who's back, has some talent. They do. They also had, I thought, a key player for them in the blowout win, a freshman, Will Lovings Watts. He had 14 points for the Red Devils, a name that I think you'll want to remember in high school basketball here for the next couple of years. Trey Coleman, the junior and Division I prospect of Jeffersonville, he had 16 points to lead the way for the Devils. But interesting start for Jeff. It's a team that has, I think, a lot of athletic potential, and we'll see how they come together. And I would like to really much see them in a future contest against a more competitive athletic team that can get up and down with the Red Devils. But I think from what I've seen so far, some bright spots in high school basketball in our area. And, of course, this weekend, some big challenges for our local teams. New Albany opens up at home with Bloomington South. That's going to be a real challenge for New Albany to open the season up as they find ways to replace Romeo Langford and Sean East. Also, Floyd Central, we'll find a little bit more out about them. Are they deserving of a top 10 ranking in 4A basketball? And they go to Lawrence North to play this weekend. I think that'll tell us a lot more on Saturday night about what the Highlanders' true potential is for the upcoming season. One high school note as well, Romeo Langford will not be back at the Doghouse on Saturday, but I did see a photo. They're going to honor him with a nice portrait of him in his number one Mr. Basketball, Indiana Mr. Basketball All-Star uniform. Also, his high school number will be retired, the home jersey that he wore from his senior year on the wall, as well as his McDonald All-American jersey as well from that. So a couple honors for him that I think rightfully so to help remember him and in his history of New Albany basketball, and really in Southern Indiana basketball as well. Also, Romeo Langford and Sean East, their all-star jerseys added to the wall as well. So fans, Saturday will be treated to a couple new additions at the Doghouse for that big game, New Albany taking on Bloomington South. Great time of year. High school hoops is back. IU in action tonight. All sorts of college basketball and college football playing out over the weekend as well. Fun time to have you with us. Don't forget we do this each weekday at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio. If you miss us live, we podcast. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Apple Podcast. On SoundCloud, you can download the free app or point your browser to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk more IU basketball. We'll get you all set and ready for what we know, at least, about the IU injury situation. We'll also talk about tonight's game against UC Davis. IU looking for, to be frank, an easy win before they head to Duke Tuesday for what is going to be just a very tough matchup. And I say that, Duke got beat over the weekend. Duke got beat a couple days ago, I should say, by Gonzaga in the final of the Maui tournament. So for everyone that thought Duke might challenge the 76 Hoosiers as an undefeated national champion, I don't know. I think they've still got a great chance to get there, but no one saw them taking a loss this early in the season, given how dominant they were against Kentucky when they played in that opening night of college basketball. We'll head to a break. Jared Morris is next of the Assembly Call. IU basketball will be the topic. Stay with us right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for being with us today. Our segment here is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, you can stop by for your coffee on the way to drop your kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. We talk IU basketball in this segment every Friday on the Hoosier Report. And Jared, I wish, as we were gearing up for this UC Davis game, kind of a good prep game to get ready, we hope, for the Duke contest on Tuesday night, I wish we were talking about more on-the-court things, but unfortunately, we've got to start with some injuries. Indiana really, really bitten by the injury bug right now. Four players out for the last game, and then you wonder about the status of Al Durham. And, of course, everybody wants to know about Romeo Langford after getting busted in the nose, what their statuses will be for tonight's contest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to tuning into the pregame show, and hearing what Archie has to say to Don Fisher and seeing what the reporters who were there tweet out just about who's available and pregame warmups, because I don't think we're going to hear much before then, just because, you know, there's no availability for the coaches, and obviously yesterday was Thanksgiving. So, you know, I know that I just kind of found myself yesterday, you know, hoping that Juwan Morgan didn't slice his finger carving the turkey and that Rob Finnessy didn't get, you know, a bad batch of cranberry sauce and get food poisoning, because the way things are going, I mean, I don't recall ever seeing anything quite like this, where it's just, you know, one after another. And even when guys come back, you know, Race Thompson was hurt and then he promptly gets a concussion and is hurt again right after he comes back. So, you know, I guess the only silver lining, and it's a real one, is, you know, that some guys like Demezi Anderson are getting some minutes they wouldn't have otherwise gotten. And if circumstances present themselves later in the year where he's got to play, you know, a key role in important games, he'll be more prepared to do that. But the hope, obviously, is that you get everybody healthy and he goes back to the role that we kind of expected from him before the season. Because, you know, this team has a lot of talent. They've got a lot of potential, and the depth is a big part of why people were excited. But, you know, it's been so hard to get any kind of rhythm, because every game it's different guys in, different guys out, and that's obviously not an ideal way to go through November.
Yeah, there's a wide variety of injuries, and of course we don't at any means know the details of most of these injuries, but it sure seems like there are a couple that you could classify as nagging injuries that players maybe tonight could be game time decisions on. And again, I'm just putting in my two cents here. I do not know anything. Then on the opposite spectrum of that, you've got Jerome Hunter, who's out indefinitely. It's really amazing the different types of injuries, how they've affected, how long they've affected different players. Again, you see injuries in sports and in college basketball, no question about that. But this is really amazing, and you said you can't recall seeing anything like it. I can't either. I mean, there's teams that lose a couple guys, and you think, oh, that completely changes their roster. But Indiana right now, I mean, we're talking about perhaps being, what, down six or seven scholarship players, depending on mm-hmm. who plays or doesn't play in tonight's game.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do tonight, because one of the things that we don't really know for a lot of these injuries, and obviously Jerome Hunter is out, you know, I mean, he had surgery. We know how serious that injury or condition is. But what we don't know really is the severity of some of these other ones. You know, Devontae Green has this thigh issue. He played in a couple games and now has been sitting out. If this was February or March, you know, would he be in there? Same thing with Zach McRoberts. And we don't really know, because the way that you're going to handle injuries is a lot different in November than it's going to be later on in the season. And so it's interesting tonight, you know, what do you do with a guy who's borderline? Because at all costs, you have to avoid a loss at home to UC Davis, obviously. But, you know, you could, you know, this is not a very good UC Davis team coming in here. You know, you don't necessarily need to be at full strength to do that. So, you know, do you give the benefit of the doubt to sitting guys, you know, for another game so they can get fully rested up for Duke if they're borderline? Or do you get them out there because you really want to, you know, get them on the court and, you know, you need an eighth guy or a ninth guy in the rotation? So it's kind of an interesting decision, because usually, you know, if you have a full roster and maybe one guy's injured, you would say, okay, let's sit him for UC Davis. We can probably win this game without him, and let's let him get fully healthy. But now you've got so many of them, and, you know, no matter what, you don't want to go into a game with only seven or eight guys available, because you're, you know, a couple bad foul calls early from having to play a weird rotation, and now you get yourself into trouble in a game that you absolutely under no circumstances can afford to lose. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do, and and you know, not only who plays in this game, but then who's back available for Duke, because that starts a really difficult stretch for Indiana where they're playing five, you know, top 60 teams. And obviously they're really going to need their depth and need all hands on deck for those games. So how many guys are available? It's obviously the biggest storyline of early in this season. And hopefully it's something that, you know, in February, March, we look back on and like, oh yeah, remember that? And, you know, some guys got some extra time, but we weathered it. But man, right now it's really a difficult thing to go through.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, this segment presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Let's talk a little bit about UC Davis. They are not the team they were last season. Last year they won 22 games. They made it to the NIT postseason tournament. On paper, they would look like a strong team if this was a year ago coming into Assembly Hall. This year's been a little different. They've only won one game. It was at home, and it also came in overtime. So I think IU fans maybe can breathe a little sigh of relief that this is a struggling team coming into the tough confines of Assembly Hall, even though Indiana's going to be without a number of players, it looks like.
Yeah, I think as fans, we can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief because they certainly, you know, this was a game I thought they were going to be much better, you know, as you kind of projected forward. This seemed like one of the more difficult games on the schedule outside of, you know, the Dukes and the Louisvilles and the Butlers and all those teams. But they really have not been playing well, and I don't know enough about them to know, you know, why that is. But, you know, they've been really poor offensively. And so, you know, we'll see, you know, what they bring in. But, you know, while the fans can breathe maybe a little bit easier, the team certainly needs to not. And whoever is playing tonight, you know, really needs to go out and play well and focus, because, you know, what's been really disappointing over the last couple of games, and yeah, you've got the context of the injuries and it's a young team and there's different rotations playing and all of this stuff. And I think those are legitimate explanations for some of what we've seen, but the turnovers really have not been good. And just some of the lapses in focus and you know, maybe part of that is guys playing 36, 37 minutes and getting a little bit tired and okay. You know, but now as we start to get into the tougher games on the schedule, now you've got to be ready to go 40 minutes every night. And so some of those lapses that are, you know, that maybe you can explain away early in November, at some point those have to go away. Or Indiana is going to lose a lot of close, frustrating games this year, just like they did against Arkansas. So, I really hope tonight, you know, that we see a team with a little bit more renewed focus on taking care of the ball. And guys like Justin Smith having a more consistent night out there, because he's going to be such an important piece, and his play has been so up and down. So it's a big opportunity. It should not be a game that we have to sweat out for 40 minutes, you know, but again, you know, with the depleted rotation, you know, we'll just have to see. I just want to get a win, get no more guys injured, you know, feel a little bit better about, you know, some of the turnovers and those things, and let's just get on to next week.
I agree. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. Last game, despite IU being short on the roster, especially in the second half when Durham had to leave and then Romeo late in the game goes out, we didn't see Clifton Moore or Jake Forrester. They logged no minutes against UT Arlington. Does that surprise you at all that even with a short roster, those guys aren't getting any looks?
It does surprise me a little bit. You know, because I think we've seen some positive things from both guys, Clifton especially, I thought, in some of the mop-up duty that they've had. And now, look, I think that UT Arlington game was an interesting one because UT Arlington is such a small team that really, you know, the matchups weren't great to get Clifton and Jake out there because those aren't going to be guys that are really going to defend well out on the perimeter right now. At the same time, you know, Evan Fitzner played 28 minutes, and they weren't particularly great minutes. So you would think, you know, maybe those guys could you know, go in and steal a few minutes there for no other reason than just to get guys rest. So, you know, in that particular case, I think it's a little bit easier to explain why they didn't. But it is still, you know, I just think it's telling. You know, I mean, I think Archie Miller is going to play the guys that he trusts and find a way to get those guys in there. And you know, he's obviously playing rotation or lineups that he never expected to. So I think it just, you know, it tells us right now about his current level of trust in those guys. And for whatever reason, you know, their playing practice isn't dictating that they should be on the court. And I don't know that we can criticize the decision one way or the other, because Archie certainly knows more about that than we do. But it has been a little bit interesting, you know, a little bit surprising. But I think the thing that you take out of it is just, I mean, I think we clearly know where those two guys are in the pecking order right now. And it'll be interesting to see as the season moves forward if they can Move up the list a little bit and build some trust.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's take a look at this gauntlet of a schedule that is forthcoming, Jared. November 27th, of course, skipping past tonight's game against UC Davis, but November 27th, IU is at Duke. We know the talent that Duke has. We know some of their performances this season have been spectacular. Then you get into Big Ten Conference play on December 1st and December 4th. Home against Northwestern, at Penn State, two early conference games. And if IU wants to compete for that Big Ten championship, they're going to have to get off to a good start. Then you come out of conference play to take on Louisville on December 8th and Butler on December 15th. That is quite a stretch until IU will then play Central Arkansas and Jacksonville. They come back down to earth a little bit, but that's really, with conference games mixed in, a really, really tough stretch of games for this IU team.
Yeah, and I think all offseason we pointed to that stretch as being, you know, really the first time that we'll really learn a lot about this team. Obviously, we figured we'd learn something from Marquette and Arkansas, and I think we did, and now this is the next big test. And, look, it was going to be challenging with a full roster. It's certainly going to be even more challenging if guys are still hurt. You know, I think the Duke game, you know, whatever, you're playing at Duke, no one's really expecting you to win that game, and it's going to be extremely difficult to do so if you don't have your full roster. I think, you know, the two Big Ten games there are really important. Yeah, home against Northwestern, at Penn State. You know, you never take a game at Penn State for granted. We certainly know that after the last decade. But those are, I mean, at a minimum, Indiana has to go 1-1 there. And really, you want to go 2-0, because when you look at what occurs in January in terms of the Big Ten, you've got that stretch where you have four road games and five, you know, four out of five road games, and it's, you know, Maryland and Purdue, and I think Michigan State's mixed in there, and maybe Nebraska is too. The Nebraska game might be at home, but either way, it's four really tough teams on the road out of five games, you know, and you're probably going to lose a few of those. So if you're already going into it, you know, behind the eight ball a little bit, you know, you could really see yourself in a big hole in January simply because of how the schedule lays out. Now, you'll be able to come back later on, in February, the schedule gets a little bit kinder. But I think those two games are really important, you know, for Indiana to at least win one and hopefully get two, just so that they're in a good spot once that, you know, even more challenging Big Ten gauntlet comes in January.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. He's with us Fridays here on the Hoosier Report. Jared, great to catch up. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Another tough thing before I let you go, too. Big Ten Plus, man, that really takes away from the experience. I know you'll be trying to watch the game on television as well. They do a great job. I have to remember to tell myself it's student produced, and they do a fantastic job from that level. But I tell you, nothing like a nationally televised game or a Big Ten Network televised game. I may have to have some aid from Don Fisher tonight to help me get through the game. So.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Any excuse to listen to Don Fisher, and really you shouldn't need one, because no one calls an Indiana game better than him. So,
absolutely. Jared, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you soon.
Yep, you do the same, Matt. Thanks.
And Jared brought up a great point as well. A lot of people will be tuning in to that pregame interview tonight with Don Fisher and Archie Miller to kind of get a status report on some of these guys that are out or have been out or possibly could be out, like Romeo with the nose injury. So we'll have that for you, the pregame coverage with Don Fisher and crew. It begins at 6 o'clock, with the tip-off being at 7 o'clock tonight. That's a great point. No better way to kind of get the official word. In fact, a lot of times at the game, you'll see the media guys putting in their earbuds or on their headphones to listen to that interview to see any updates on injuries, since we really don't get that much from the school. And they are limited in what they can say, obviously, when it's health and injuries and things like that. But tune in tonight at 6 o'clock as far as maybe the latest in injuries and who will play tonight, which will give you an idea of things moving forward for this Indiana team. Jared is with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. When you are looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, pastries as well, now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. To a commercial break we go. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Well, for some Indiana high schools, Thanksgiving time means it's time for championship football. We've had IHSA state championship games today and again on Saturday in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil. And Kyle Neddenrip joins us. Kyle, we don't have any local teams remaining, but today you've got the 2A, the 4A, and the big 6A game later tonight. And in that 6A game, Warren Central trying to make some history in Indiana high school football.
Yeah, how you doing, Matt? I just got down here actually to cover the 2A game, but yeah, it's going to be a chance for history tonight, not only with Warren Central, everything they've done this year, but, you know, it's never been accomplished before to win an undefeated basketball and football in the same calendar or school year. And, you know, it's fun to kind of go back and look at that and see the history there. George McGinnis came really close with that 68 Washington Continentals football team. They lost in the city championship that year to Cathedral. And then, of course, the 69 Washington basketball team went undefeated. It was only the third time that had ever been done in 1969. So on the brink of a kind of a historic night tonight, if Warren can finish it, and if not, it'll take a good effort from Carmel to get it done.
I mean, obviously, basketball fans familiar with Warren Central, that tremendous game between Warren Central and New Albany at Seymour, the ending to Romeo Langford's high school basketball career a week early than I think a lot of us would have liked to have seen. But what an accomplishment for a second to go back and kind of reflect on the basketball season. They make it through undefeated. And you and I talked about this both before that semi-state game and after the state championship. That team had a number of games, and I was at a couple of them that season when they were behind by 10, 11, 12 points, even in the fourth quarter, and were able to come back and find ways to win. On top of that, not only did their football team, or is their football team trying to win tonight in an undefeated season, their girls basketball team, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but they, I don't think, were the favorite to win it, or maybe even the top two, three, four, five teams that you might pick to win the 4A basketball last year. And what do you know, they came out on top as well. Warren Central, it's been a tremendous run for their athletic teams, and their basketball teams, I think, are going to be good again this year as well.
Yeah, and you know, they you know, in recent history, they've been, of course, known for their football program, and it's not a surprise at all that they're here tonight, because we knew this team with this senior class, and you mentioned David Bell, with everything he's accomplished in his career, this is kind of the culmination of maybe what we expected, you know, for their football program. To be here tonight, but basketball, you know, the girls team you mentioned probably wasn't even the favorite to win their sectional last year, let alone go all the way and win state. So that was a, you know, yeah, they could be reigning in all three sports after tonight and state championships in those three sports. But basketball had to, you know, the fact that that team went undefeated with how many close games they had. I think thinking back, there was 11 games they had that either went to overtime or were decided by 5 points or less, and they won all 11 of them. So to do that was just a remarkable accomplishment. I don't know, you know, that it's rarely happened. It hadn't happened since 09 in boys basketball. So to do that in the manner they did it, I don't know if that'll be replicated anytime soon. But tonight, you know, we're talking about strictly football, you know, no big shock. I think the biggest question mark is how healthy David Bell is going to be tonight because of that ankle sprain he suffered last week against Center Grove. And hopefully he can give it a go. I'm sure he will, knowing the kind of competitor he is. But I don't know if he'll be close to 100% or where he'll be exactly. But hopefully he can be out there and at least be a part of this game tonight.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Kyle is a great wealth of knowledge for us. We talk high school sports recruiting and a lot more when he's with us. So I want to go right into some basketball. Finally, Kyle, high school basketball is here. We've been hitting it heavy this week. I've enjoyed getting out to a couple games so far and looking forward to getting out on Saturday as well to see some of our local teams play. It's some interesting games down here for New Albany and Floyd Central on Saturday to kind of get an early season feel for here in far southern Indiana who might really have a chance to put something special together and compete for a conference, compete for a sectional championship. We've touched on a couple different situations and teams across the state that you think might have a chance to be contenders in high school basketball this season. Of course, one of those teams that I've seen up there pretty high in a lot of the rankings, in preseason rankings, is Center Grove, and that's the team that Trace Jackson Davis plays for. I know you've had a chance recently to catch up with Trace Jackson Davis, and you're also familiar with that Center Grove team, who, if they win their sectional, and they're the big favorite there, would come through the Seymour Regional, which is when they could hook up with one of our local 4A teams.
Yeah, I put them at number one in our preseason Fab 15, and it was not an easy choice by any means. I think Warren Central, and I had a chance to see Warren Central play Wednesday night. I wanted to see how those new players fit into their program. They have two transfers in from Cecina and Park Tudor who are East Side kids who have come back to play there, and they, Isaiah Moore and Manuel Brown, and they seem to fit right in. But so I think Warren's right there too. But Center Grove has a team that's, you know, and you guys have seen them down there in the regional the last 2 years. It's not just Jackson Davis. They have a couple guards in Piercefield and Nickerson who are seniors who are veterans. Backcourt, they've seen a lot of, you know, been in a lot of big games, and those guys can knock shots down and handle the ball. So it's more than just Jackson Davis. I think that team is poised for a pretty deep run this year. If their big goal, you know, and biggest stumbling block is getting through that regional down there. Of course, they've run into Romeo and New Albany twice, and that hasn't been easy, but this may be a chance for them to accomplish that this year. And like you said, their sectional isn't quite as tough as some of the ones up around here, although Franklin has a really good veteran team. But I think this is a year they can, you know, they should be able to make a run at it. I kind of like how their path sets up. I like the mix of veterans and newcomer talent they have coming in. So I think there'll be a team to be reckoned with. But up here, you know, I think there's an echelon of teams really that are all kind of on the same plane. And you talk about Carmel and Ben Davis and Lawrence North, Lawrence Central, Brownsburg. You know, those teams all, are all capable of being right there as well. There's about seven or eight teams, I think, that'll get a chance to shake it out a little bit early in the season. And we'll kind of see where it stands after a couple weeks. And I'm going to get a chance to see Ben Davis play tomorrow afternoon, and kind of see what that team looks like without Aaron Henry, because they do have a couple of good players who could be Indiana All-Stars this year, DeJuan Jones and Jalen Windham. So there's a lot of really good senior players, senior-led teams this year in our area, which I think should lead to a really good competitive season up here.
Kyle, speaking of your area, Armand Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, at this point, I use lone member of the 2019 recruiting class. He had a terrific game against a good Indianapolis Howe team in 2A to start the season a few days ago. Big game for him, and I think that by all accounts, he has improved and is gearing up for what should be a big final campaign for him before he winds up in Bloomington.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned them too. They're in that echelon of teams as well. Yeah, they're going to be, and circle the December 7th, they play Warren Central, and that should be a really, really good game. And Armand was off to a good start in his first game at 29 points in their win over Howe. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be loaded for a good run. They have a freshman guard who's going to be a player to watch this season for them, TJ Comer. So, you know, I think Franklin, you know, based off what he did last year and then going into this year, he's going to have a huge senior year.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us. We're talking high school basketball to start the season. Speaking of the calendar, I was looking at Cathedral's schedule as you were talking about that big game coming up against Warren Central. November 30th, they play at Center Grove. That's their next game a week from today. So you could see Franklin against potential teammate. When Trace Jackson Davis, whenever he decides to make his announcement, I'm sure a lot of Indiana fans might find their way to Center Grove to watch Armand Franklin take on Trace Jackson Davis and crew next Friday night. Flipping gears to some football, college football for just a moment, Kyle. Big one this coming weekend. Big one tomorrow. IU-Purdue. Bowl eligibility on the line for both games. Purdue has not played its best football the last few weeks of the season. Indiana, meanwhile, wasn't able to win at Michigan, but they were doing quite well even into the second half of play against a team that has been mentioned as a potential for the college football playoffs, depending on how things go the rest of the season. Thoughts on that IU-Purdue rivalry game with so much at stake? It's that way every year, but my goodness, this year there's a lot at stake in that game for whoever comes out as the victor.
Yeah, it should be a great game. I'm kind of leaning IU, you know, based off what we've seen the last couple weeks. You know, Purdue has kind of struggled here, and IU, you know, you remember the old CBA days where you get like half a point for if you led it to half led it during a certain quarter. I think that should be the case when you're ahead at Michigan at halftime. So I think that was, you know, it should be a good confidence boost for Indiana and playing them tough, and you know, I think that's going to be, it should be a heck of a game. Like you said, a lot on the line, and that makes it a lot more fun that way. But I think this is going to be a really good game. The way things have gone here the last couple of weeks, I almost think IU might win it tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see, and I would probably favor the Hoosiers at this point. I tell you, Purdue has looked great at times, but the last couple of weeks, not their best football by far. Lots of interesting things on and off the field in that game. Kyle, thanks for the chat. Enjoy the football state finals. Sounds like you're ahead for a fun day of some high school football. I would really like to see that 6A game, and I think it's on TV, Fox Sports Indiana tonight. Is that, all of them are on Fox?
Yeah, all of them are, except the 6A game, I believe, is on the alternate channel, so you might double check that because of the Pacers game tonight. But yeah, the other, we're getting started here with Western Boone here in a minute, and then you know, games throughout the weekend, so really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, Kyle, thanks for the chat. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and appreciate you coming by once again this Friday.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. That's Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. Lots of high school sports, lots of recruiting as well. You can follow Kyle at Kyle Nedenrip on Twitter, and you can read all of his great work at IndyStar.com/sports. Want to remind you that the 2019 membership overhaul at Elk Run Golf Club is going on right now. It's the best deal in the area when it comes to golf. It's the associate membership. Unlimited golf for just $350 annually. Again, unlimited golf for $350 for the full year. For more information, call the golf shop at Elk Run. The number is 812-283-9022. 812-283-9022. Tell them the Hoosier Report sent you. A great special with Christmas just around the corner. That's just about going to wrap things up for today. A couple reminders to throw out for you. IU basketball tonight at 7 o'clock. The game is on Big Ten Plus. If you can't figure out how to download that or subscribe to it, or you just don't want to pay the extra $9.99, you're probably already paying enough for cable and subscriptions the way it is these days. You can listen right here on the Big X. Don Fisher has the call. And, of course, he is always great to listen to when it comes to IU basketball. Don't forget as well, 6 o'clock tonight, the IU Network pregame show. I think we'll have a lot more listeners from that than what we normally do, people wanting to tune in and see what in the world is going on with all these injuries that IU is currently battling right now with four players out the last game. Of course, Jerome Hunter is out indefinitely, and who knows what the status will be tonight of Romeo Langford with his nose, and Al Durham, who had to leave the game earlier in the week after taking a pretty hard fall. IU really going through it right now as far as injuries and health is concerned. It'll be real interesting to see who plays tonight. It'll be real interesting to see some of the rotations that Archie Miller goes with, or maybe better term, is forced to go with in the game tonight. But nonetheless, it's IU basketball, and I can assure you that we'll all be watching it tonight. Don't forget next week as well, IU at Duke on Tuesday night. And with that IU game on Tuesday night at Duke, it's a 9:30 start. It's a late start, 8:30 pregame show with Don Fisher on the network. But we're going to be with you from 6 o'clock on Tuesday night with IU coverage, including our special local pregame show that we'll have beginning around 7 o'clock. We'll have some real in-depth look at Duke and the IU-Duke matchups and just a lot of neat things. It's a big game, and Indiana's got their hands full. We know that, but we're your leader in local programming and in IU content and things here in Southern Indiana, and the Hoosier Report will be with you for a couple hours of special coverage coming your way Tuesday night, which should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I just hope Indiana's got some of its guys back so they can somewhat try to put a challenge together for Duke on the road at Cameron Indoor Stadium. But don't forget about that. Some special coverage coming your way before the game and before the IU Network coverage on Tuesday night before the Duke game. We've also got high school basketball this weekend. Lee Kelly has the call of Bloomington South at New Albany. Had a chance to see Bloomington South earlier this week. Anthony Leal playing well. He will be in New Albany, so you not only get to see the Bulldogs, but you get a chance to see someone who's got some Big Ten offers and someone who is being recruited at this point by IU. And will he get an offer? I would think at some point, if he continues to develop, he will. But he will be a big, big part of the Bloomington South team this season, and you'll have a chance to see him Saturday night at New Albany. And high school football later today, we've got some of the state championship games this afternoon coming your way as well. In fact, as soon as I sign off here in just a moment, we'll take you to the IHSA network for some state championship football. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and that's going to do it for us right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.